On the last night of the revival, the sky took on a strange yellowish cast. The air felt close, suffocating, and no wind stirred. "What do you think, David?" Mama asked as she and Papa stood on the front porch looking at the sky. "You think we should go?" Papa leaned on his cane. "It's gonna storm, all right, but it may not come till late on over in the night." They decided we would go. Most other families had come to the same decision, for the church grounds were crowded with wagons when we arrived. "Brother Logan," one of the deacons called as Papa stepped awkwardly down from the wagon. "Reverend Gabson wants us to get the meeting started as soon as we can, so we can dismiss early and get on home before this storm hits." "All right," Papa said, directing us toward the church. But as we neared the building, we were stopped by the Laniers. As the grown-ups talked, Little Willie Wiggins and Mo Turner, standing with several other boys, motioned to Stacy from the road. Stacy wandered away to speak to them, and Christopher John, Little Man, and I went too. "Guess who we seen?" said Little Willie as Stacy walked up. But before Stacy could venture a guess, Little Willie answered his own question. "TJ and them Sims brothers." "Where?" asked Stacy. "Over there," Little Willie pointed. "They parked by the classrooms. Look, here they come." All eyes followed the direction of Little Willie's finger. Through the settling dusk, three figures ambled with assurance across the wide lawn, the two Simses on the outside, TJ in the middle. "How come he bringing them here?" asked Mo Turner angrily. Stacy shrugged. "Don't know, but I guess we'll find out." "He looks different," I remarked when I could see TJ more distinctly. He was dressed in a pair of long, unpatched trousers, and as sticky hot as it was, he wore a suit coat and a tie and a hat cocked jauntily to one side. "I suppose he do look different," murmured Mo bitterly. "I'd look different, too, if I'd been busy stealing other folks' stuff." "Well, well, well, what we got here?" exclaimed TJ loudly as he approached. "Y'all gonna welcome us to y'all's revival services?" "What you doing here, TJ?" Stacy asked. TJ laughed. "I got a right to come to my own church, ain't I? See all my old friends?" His eyes wandered over the group, but no one showed signs of being glad to see him. His wide grin shrank a little. Then, spying me, he patted my face with his moist hand. "Hey, Cassie girl, how you doing?" I slapped his hand away. "Don't you come messing with me, TJ," I warned. Again he laughed, then said soberly, "Well, this is a fine how do you do. I come all the way over here to introduce my friends, R.W. and Melvin, to y'all, and y'all acting like y'all ain't got no manners at all." "Yeah, old R.W. and Melvin," he said, rolling the Sims' names slowly off his tongue to bring to our attention that he had not bothered to place a Mr. before either. "They've been mighty fine friends to me. Better than any of y'all. Look, see here what they give me?" Proudly, he tugged at the suit coat. "Pretty nice stuff, eh? Everything I want they give me because they really likes me. I'm their best friend." He turned to the Simses. "Ain't that right, R.W. and Melvin?" Melvin nodded, a condescending smirk on his face which was lost on TJ. "Anything, just anything at all I want, they'll get it for me, including..." He hesitated, as if he were unsure whether or not he was going too far, then plunged on. "Including that pearl-handled pistol and Barnett's mercantile." R.W. stepped forward and slapped a reassuring hand on TJ's shoulder. "That's right, TJ. You name it, and you've got it." TJ grinned widely. Stacy turned away in disgust. "Come on," he said. "Service about to start." "Hey, what's the matter with y'all?" TJ yelled as the group turned en masse and headed for the church. I glanced back at him. Was he really such a fool? "All right, TJ," said Melvin as we walked away. "We come down here like you asked. Now you come on into Strawberry with us like you promised." It didn't even make no difference, muttered TJ. What? Said R.W. You coming, ain't you? You still want that pearl-handled pistol, don't you? Yeah, but then come on, he ordered, turning with Melvin and heading for the pickup. But TJ didn't follow immediately. He remained standing in the middle of the compound, his face puzzled and undecided. I had never seen him look more desolately alone, and for a fleeting second, I felt almost sorry for him. When I reached the church steps, I looked back again. TJ was still there, an indistinct blur blending into the gathering dusk. And I began to think that perhaps he wouldn't go with the Simmses. But then the rude squawk of the truck's horn blasted the quiet evening, and TJ turned his back on us and fled across the field.